The following is a presentation from your friends at ForceCast.net.
It's the ForceCast.
Home to the official podcast of the Force.net.
I feel the Force.
At RebelScum.com. You rebel scum.
You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Right now I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the shot on Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Echo Base. We're back. I'm back and probably shouldn't be. I'm a little bit under the weather, but I will try to mute myself through the various sniffles and coughing and sneezing and stuff like that. So, but the important thing is that we're here. And we have what I hope to be a very cool topic for tonight. Oh, I see. I made a pun because it's Echo Base. A cool topic. Okay. No,
I
that's
that,
really
yeah.
bad.
Okay. No, it was good.
That was funny. Thank you. I'm sicker than usual, obviously. So fortunately, I'm joined by both Lou and Chris, who will keep us on track and sane and meaningful. You'll do a better job than I will. Let me tell you.
I have never been known to keep us on track, but I will try.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. We have, a bit of a controversial topic tonight, both a ridiculous topic and yet a very serious topic at the same time, but then it's ridiculous that this needs to be taken seriously. So we're going to hit it from kind of all different corners here.
One of those, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And we've got the chat room here with us. Hello, chat room. We're glad to have you here. And, I feel like it's been forever. I've been sick. I've been underwater with work recently. I'm very glad to be back. So,
well, it's good to have you. To be back.
You say that now.
It's good to be heard.
All right. So let's jump into this. Over on the force.net, there is an article that, let me check the date on this because it was a little while ago. It was, I believe, the 1st of November about theater chains, the 3rd of November. I'm sorry. Theaters post notice for fans planning on costuming The Force Awakens. I'm sure you guys have seen this. Yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I'm going to read this for the people who aren't aware of it. I'm going to read the article here from TheForce.net. Former TFN staff member and founder, Scott Chitwood, recently posted the image below on Twitter showing the new rules for fans planning to cosplay when they go to see The Force Awakens. And there's a picture underneath. I believe this is from Cinemark. AMC also posted something similar. And there's a big old sign here that says, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Tickets on sale now. Passes for Star Wars will not be accepted until January 4th. Blah, 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 blah. Star Wars costumes are welcome. However, no face coverings, face paint, or simulated weapons, including lightsabers or blasters, will be allowed in the building. Now, we live in a day and age of ordering tickets online, and I remember that this was really starting to take shape big time about the time that the prequels were coming out, and there's kind of a thing at the time about, well, but remember the special edition releases where we camped out and waited to get in to see Star Wars, and you had the original movies and stuff. People camped out for those too. And is this going to go away now with ticket sales? And the answer was no, ticket sales being online did not keep people from taking the day off work, gathering en masse at the theaters as part of the Star Wars fan community and hanging out with one another, a lot of them in cosplay and really getting into the Star Wars spirit, which is an awesome thing. And people are obviously going to do that this time around as well, except now a lot of theaters, including the biggest chains in the country, at least here in the U.S., are saying no, not only no blasters, which, okay, a Star Wars blaster doesn't necessarily look that much like a real rifle, but okay, fair enough. But also no lightsabers, as if you could really, like, create a terrorist event with a lightsaber. Mm-hmm. No face coverings, which I guess I can understand from a security point of view, that you want to, you know, security cameras and stuff like that. You want to be able to see someone's face so they don't go. There have been theater shootings here in the U.S. And if you can go in a mask and nobody blinks an eye at you, you can get all the way into the theater and cause a horrific scenario. And, basically never get caught because they'll never be able to identify who it was that came in. I mean, you could run out with the rest of the crowd with your mask off and pretend you're just one of the panicking victims and no one would know any better. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of reasons why, you know, for example, you can't go into a bank in the winter wearing like a lot of, you know, they ask you to take your hat off or pull the hood back on mm-hmm. your jacket or something like that. There are security reasons for that sort of thing in high risk environments. And unfortunately, it's not just banks and government buildings where, you know, courthouses where it's high risk. Now we're looking at football stadiums, theaters. Honestly, I have to say I'm a little bit surprised that New York Comic Con wasn't a little bit more strict than they were. But even then, we saw buckets and like huge right. yeah. industrial-sized trash cans full, multiples of weapons and stuff that they would not allow in.
Yeah, it you know, I never got the lowdown on what the regulations were for that. I never looked into it, but I did see a lot of things that were walking around that seemed like, well, you know, okay, they let that in, but so what they ban? You know, I didn't take a close look at those right. buckets, but, you know, it is, and they it is do that post, slippery slope of what are you going to say is true,
right.
really allowed, and what's not.
And they do post lists of that at the website for New York Comic Con. And if you're going into cosplay, normally, I mean, if you're into that sort of hobby, you generally have an awareness in advance of yeah. where to check for the regulations and stuff like that. So it's not that stuff wasn't posted. It's just sometimes it can be confusing or people who are new to this maybe didn't prepare in advance. I want to throw a comment out here from the chat room real quick. One of our members there, Joel, I won't get into what he does for a living because I don't know that he wants that broadcast everywhere, but this is relevant to what he does. He says, I think this is being driven by liability concerns, i.e. their lawyers, not so much the public safety side. And that's probably true. But we have this scenario where now people are going to be limited in what they can do dressing up for cosplay for Star Wars. And the reality is a lot of people like to dress up as Jedi or Sith. So right off the bat, you've got lightsabers. The yep. 501st,
right,
probably the biggest cosplay organization in the country, aside from the SCA, which is like medieval reenactments, which is not really cosplay as much as it is medieval reenactments. So I don't even know that they really count in this context. But the 501st, for any genre, for any franchise or anything like that, they're, to my knowledge, the biggest population of cosplayers out there as an organized group. And they wear body armor from head to toe.
Right.
And carry blasters. Even if they left their blasters at home, though, you know, this is what they do. They do charity events. They do, like, big public things yeah. that, you know, now, very high profile.
You know, in looking at that logically, though, I mean, we should really allow the stormtroopers to come in and carry weapons because they won't hit anything anyways.
Well, that's true. You know you're safe from a stormtrooper.
I'm sorry. I had to put out there trying to make a little joke out of this. I know it's
you know, topic, I would really like to see more than anything. Well, I shouldn't say more than anything else, but one of the things that I would really like to see above a lot of other things in The Force Awakens are stormtroopers who are competent.
who are a threat,
who are an actual real threat other than just in mass numbers.
Right.
So, yeah, I've got my fingers crossed on that one. That's a good point, though. I mean, yeah, you don't really want them doing security for you. Anyway, so right off the bat, 501st, not welcome in costume. Jedi and Sith, you're welcome in costume, but no lightsabers. Sith, most Sith either go as Vader, or in this case, Kylo Ren is going to be a really popular costume, but you can't have a face covering. Darth Maul, well, you can't do face paint, apparently.
Right.
I mean, this is...
Which makes no sense at all. I mean, fate, well...
You can't even go as a Twi'lek. Right,
this is coming at from the, you know, covering their butts side of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're going to put the face of, you know, public safety onto it so that we're protecting you, you know.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, part of me wants to say, yeah, okay, fine. And I'm not a cosplayer. I don't have any costumes myself. So I can say that and not really be affected by it. And I know that's not the... You know, the thing that the cosplayers want to hear, but
right.
You know, one side of me will say, okay, well, you know, with everything that's happened in the last couple of years, with this, you know, mentality of people doing bad things in theaters and public places in general, you know, does it make me feel any safer? No, I don't think it would per se, but, it's a really tough call. I'm really torn between what they've said. I know it's just kind of a cover your butt type thing. And yet all the fans that really want to, you know, do the cosplay, have their fandom showing and really being out there in public. And I applaud them for that. I wish they could. And I wish this was something different, but.
Right. Well, go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was just going to say that, I don't know if you saw this originally, but, I think it's AMC. Their, restrictions actually only apply to blasters. They allow lightsabers.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where, I can see why they're doing this. I mean, you know, it's a blaster. It's going to be a toy or a replica or something. And, but I think they could. I mean, I don't have a costume either. I'm just going to go in like a Star Wars shirt. But, and I mean, I wouldn't want to carry a toy gun or replica gun around anyways to a movie theater. But if you'd want to, I feel like maybe you should be allowed to, but I don't see a problem of having like security that has to check the gun and make sure it's, you know, not real.
Right. So for those who are not in the United States, my understanding, and I'm also getting this here in the chat room as well. And Joel pointed out, what did the Yoda say about fear again? I don't listen to the Yoda.
What fear leads to
little
hate.
Elf who can't talk right. Anyway, yes. Fear leads to hate. Hate leads to headaches. Headaches lead to Excedrin. I don't know, something.
Sick days from work.
Yeah. It was the VMA Awards from way back. The MTV Video Music Awards. After The Phantom Menace came out, there was a skit. Andy Dick and, Phoebe from Friends. What's her name? Why can't I remember her name now? They were playing members of the Jedi Council, and they were making fun of Yoda being all senile and stuff. I'll look it up on, I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. It was actually kind of a funny clip. Yeah. And it kind of fell into like a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing, and then Yoda's rolling his eyes at him, and it was cute. Look it up, seriously. I think it was on... Oh, I wanted to say it was bonus content on one of the DVD releases. I know they had a similar sort of bonus content thing for the Lord of the Rings box set where they did a VMA clip. Anyway, and so like I said, I'm a little under the weather, so tangents are going to happen here. I'm sorry. Anyway, so for the people outside of the United States, I'm pretty certain that this is primarily a United States-based phenomenon. Whether, you know, regardless of what side of the fence you fall on, the laws that we have here in the United States regarding personal handguns and rifles and things like that has always been very controversial, even inside our own country, let alone looked at strangely from people in other countries, both from countries where they have laws banning all kinds of firearms from public use, well, not public use, but from private use. or countries where everybody can basically do what they want with firearms in private use. And it seems like both sides of the fence look at us like we're kind of a bunch of morons who can't get our crap together. And sometimes it kind of does feel that way because we keep having these issues with school shootings and mall shootings and things like that. And sadly, and this is where it gets ridiculous because I'm looking at this stuff. I'm like, okay, this is going a little bit far. It's a little bit ridiculous. Do we really need something like this? But then sadly, if you look at it statistically, it does make some sense. We do actually have a situation in this country where, number one, we have had theater shootings because people carry firearms with them sometimes and are not always the most level-headed about when they should and shouldn't be using them. Getting into an argument over popcorn is not a good reason to end someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the Batman Begins or the Dark Knight. I think it was the Dark Knight premiere. There was a shooting over that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Recently, I think last year, there was another shooting by someone, I think he was a former police officer, got into a scuffle with someone in a theater and shot him.
Mm. And some of these are just people with, you know, bad intentions of wanting to hurt a lot of people.
And that's the other thing.
That.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Right here in this area, we had a shooting in an elementary school, which is beyond tragic. Tragic does not even begin to describe the whole Sandy Hook situation. Right. Where I used to live before, down where just down the street from Jay, from Jedi Journals, Columbia Mall had a shooting, big shopping mall.
Right. Yep. Remember that.
I mean, this stuff happens all over the place. So if you had someone who was a little mentally disturbed, had access to firearms, which whether you think we should or should not, the reality is we do. It would not be that difficult to run down to Walmart, buy a blaster of some sort of toy, break it apart, put the plastic over top of an actual real rifle, and throw on a stormtrooper helmet, wait in line with everybody, go into a Star Wars thing and shoot up the theater so that you get on the nightly news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lisa Kudrow. That's who I was thinking of. Anyway, so it would not be beyond someone to go and do this sort of thing. So I really hate to say it, but this is a real thing. It's not an imaginary thing, as it should be. It's a real thing that actually happens. And so I can understand, and I think as Joel pointed out, it probably is more of a liability concern from the theaters. But there is a little bit of legitimacy to the possibility of a threat here, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to feel about this, I guess.
Personally, I was thinking about this. I mean, I go to movies by myself a lot, and I never really... I'm one of those people, and I probably shouldn't think this, but I think, oh, well, it's not going to happen to me.
Yeah, but so did everybody else who was in a theater.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, this is one thing that I've kind of thought about since, as we get closer to The Force Awakens premiering. I won't be going alone this time like I do with a lot of movies, but personally, I would rather feel safe than sorry. Do I feel safer now, you know, that they're not going to have weapons? Just a little bit, because, I mean, Jedi can wear robes. You can sneak something in.
Those damn Jedi.
That's true. I tell you, they are a sneaky lot, aren't they?
Well, Sith too, but...
Darn sneaky Jedi.
But you know, I mean, it's people can find ways to get around the whole costume thing. But I mean, I do feel a little bit safer now that I mean, my theaters that I'm going to is not Cinemark or AMC, so I'm interested to see if other theater chains follow suit. But yeah, that's just my opinion.
You know, I guess I would feel better about. I mean, if this were such a concern, which, I mean, again, I hate to say that it is, but it is. It shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
But it does happen to be, given some things that have happened over the last, 5 to 10 years. So I would rather see a movie theater set up, metal detectors at the doors. Do something like a screening like they mm-hmm. would do at something like New York Comic Con. for events like this, increased security. You actually have security guards there, which is mm-hmm. something most theaters don't do and don't need to do. I'm not saying we need to turn our theaters into, you know, some sort of a policed area or something like that. But mm-hmm. if it's yeah. going to be for a known big event, you know, you're going to have people congregating in costume, lining up all day. Right. That's why they're posting these posters and notices everywhere, because they know that this is going to occur. Well, if you know that that's going to occur, a lot of you know, police departments, though they are kind of tight with staffing and stuff like that, will sometimes rent themselves out to events like this. You can hire on, you know, security firms and stuff like that temporarily. Do something like that, but then let us cosplay. Check us at the door.
Right, right.
And the thing is, too, Star Wars fans are very much a community. This isn't like waiting in line the night that the PlayStation 5 is coming out. You know, where everybody's got this, you know, there for themselves mentality. This is Star Wars. People are there to share the experience with one another, with complete strangers. I mean, even Friday.
Wait. There's a PlayStation 5. I haven't got my 4 yet.
Well, you got to work on that, dude. Battlefront's coming out.
I know. It's coming out this week. I pre-ordered, but
is it this week?
Next week. Sorry.
Is it? Oh, dude. Okay. So, I am so out of it. I guess it is next week, isn't it? Oh, my gosh. I have been 16. Living under a rock for the last...
I got my receipt right here. I'm ready to go pick it up at midnight.
3 weeks. My God. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, if anybody wants to know what's been... why I haven't been around the last couple of weeks, tune in to this episode of The Outer Rim that's coming up. I'll give a brief explanation. And a shameless plug there. Since we now have an Outer Rim Podcast Network, look for it in iTunes. It has its whole own network feed, just like the Forcecast Network does. You can check out our shows there. And I know there's been a lot of those shows on the Forcecast page recently and not a lot of Star Wars shows because they've kind of been on hiatus a little bit. That's being fixed. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Anyway, so back to the conversation. I warned you those can be tangents.
But, well, you know, the one good thing about what they're doing, whether you agree with them or not, they're getting the word out there. They're making it public. They're putting the signs out.
True.
Hopefully True. People won't get to the theater on the 17th and go, oh, I didn't know, and then not have to, you know, go back to the car and change or bring back all their stuff. And, you know, I mean, in that respect, I'm glad. But,
yeah,
you know, I wish they would find a way to allow cosplayers to cosplay. And,
True.
And, you know, because the masks and the helmets are such a big part of Star Wars cosplay that, you know, I mean, how do you have a 501st... you know, group trooping for the weekend and not
right
be able to wear the helmets. You know?
Okay. I mean, well, so let's flip this around a little bit. I know I'm flip flopping back and forth, playing devil's advocate quite a bit here, but so the actual wording, at least for the banner on the post here, is that they will not be allowed in the building. So you can line up outside the building in full garb.
Okay.
And then, are you really going to want to wear your stormtrooper helmet during the screening of the film anyway? Probably not. So you're probably going to have someone take it back out to the car. So problem solved? Not for the face painters.
A lot of movie theaters are going to be, you know, you have that lobby area where they want to be in, or like the one that we're going to go see The Force Awakens at is in a mall. So are they going to allow you in the mall with your stuff on and just not in the doors to the theater?
That's a good question.
You know, I mean, in fact, we still need to go to that theater before The Force Awakens to see something else so you get a feel for the layout and stuff.
I'd be happy just to have time to watch a TV show at this point.
You know, Spectre comes out this week.
Yeah, we do have to. Oh, wait, hey, after the show tonight, we got to talk about that thing for tomorrow.
Okay.
That I'm very jealous that you're getting to go to, and I'm. You want to mention that real quick?
Sure.
Punk.
Tomorrow night, I have a wonderful opportunity to go see, it's called Mark My Words. It's a gathering of 5 Star Wars authors to talk about.
Nobody anybody's heard of here. Yeah, nobody.
No, you know, some small guys like Timothy Zahn, Ryder Windham, John Ostrander, Michael Stackpole.
Yeah,
I am. It should be good.
Right down the street from. I live closer to this thing than you do. And
yeah, but I work around the corner. So
well, that's true. All right, so yeah, dude, you have to. If nothing else, you got to talk to Stackpole. Beg him to be on the show.
I will. In fact, I'm thinking about it because Stackpole's doing a 2-hour jumpstart your writing class.
Oh, is he?
Saturday. the day after. And I
he's really good at that too.
And yeah, it's a 2-hour thing. It's only $25 too. I'm like,
really?
God, yeah, I could do that for $25. I'm not going to be an author anytime soon, but yeah, it'd be kind of cool to hear him speak. And
oh, my wife would love to go to that.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I tell you what, you got to get Stackpole on the show. Mike is so much fun to talk to. I know he hasn't done anything Star Wars related in a while, but tell him we'll let him plug whatever he wants to plug.
Have money out of room.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, Tim's fun to talk to too. Don't get me wrong. We've had Tim on the show more recently than we've had Mike.
And I actually pointed up for the big boy tickets.
Good.
They had the regular tickets and they had a bunch of premium seating and
the after party.
An after party, yeah. It's called Death Star Disco.
So that is it?
Kind of fun. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, that is wonderful.
That's awesome.
So Death Star Disco in Desserts. And that'll be a place to interact with fans and the authors themselves too. So,
oh, I'm so jealous. Bring lots of cards for the Forcecast with you.
I'm definitely gonna. It should be a lot of fun. In fact, I'm gonna meet somebody who listens to us there. He was one of
awesome.
Kind of, this on Facebook said, "Hey, you going to this?" I said, "Oh no, I didn't hear about it, but yeah, I am now." And he's gonna be there. So yeah, he's good.
Sweet. You know, it was pointed out in the chat room here. This was, let's see, Carrie Blackfire pointed out if you're carrying a blaster and or lightsaber around, that's one less hand for carrying popcorn.
Ooh,
that is a really good point.
Unless you're cosplaying Ezra, we get the blaster and lightsaber on one.
Well, that's true. Oh, yeah. Or if you're cosplaying as General Grievous, you've got four arms.
Ooh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That'd be handy.
Yeah. I see what you did there. Oh, gotta hand it to you, that was good. Okay, that was lame. Anyway, yeah, okay, and you guys just get it now. Okay, all right, so I don't know, I'd be curious as to what our audience thinks about this, because this is something that, you know, lining up for a movie, of all the things we do the conventions and we do the, you know, there's Star Wars Reads Day and there's May the Fourth Be With You and things like that. But lining up for the actual film, like the first Star Wars film in so many years and the first sequel to Return of the Jedi in decades, you know, this is a singularly big event. You want to be able to dress up and cosplay for this. And it's not just Jedi and Sith and Stormtroopers. People also want to cosplay as aliens. They, you know, you can't even go as a Twi'lek because you'd have some sort of a face paint. It'd be all solid color, but technically even that wouldn't be allowed.
Right.
And yet they can do other events where, you know, kids can get face painting done at like your local carnivals and stuff like that. I think that maybe the face painting thing's taking it a little bit too far. I don't know that that's really that much of a security threat. And if the argument is for security cameras and stuff like that, you can run that through biometrics anyway that scan the bone structure and stuff like that. And a lot of security cameras are black and white. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the logic behind the face paint thing. Of all of the criteria here, that's probably the most ridiculous one to me.
Yeah, it really doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
I can't. Really, I'm trying to think of characters that you would paint your face to like fit there. I mean, that would alter your appearance so much that you'd be unrecognizable. But
that would technically be prosthetics.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't really be just merely face paint. So, you know, I mean, that's more of a mask and a face covering. You know, maybe not a plastic one or a metal one, but that's a, you know, a latex mask. So I think that would count under a different category than just mere face paint. So I don't know. I'd like to hear. I know a lot of our listeners out there do cosplay, and I'd like to hear from them and see what they think of this situation here. I don't know. Would this affect where you go to see a movie, even if, like, the three of us, I don't plan to cosplay either, but I like being around cosplayers. I wish I had the time and the resources to invest in cosplaying, and I like being around cosplayers. So I don't know if, I mean, I guess it's not going to affect in the sense that we've already all bought our tickets, but in hindsight, it may have affected where I went to see the movie. If I had to choose between a few different good theaters in the area, I think I would pick the one without the restrictions.
I mean, if you already bought the tickets, that was all that's available, and now you're locked into that theater, now you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, especially if you are a cosplayer.
Do what you want to do, yeah.
You're right.
I mean, I was kind of bummed that I wasn't going to have my lightsaber finished by then because I couldn't buy one of the components that sold out before I could buy it.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah, I was hoping to have one finished and ready.
Doesn't matter now.
I was actually going to try to do a cosplay of it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, we're going to a rave cinema, which I think is part of Regal.
They haven't announced anything, have they?
Right, I haven't seen anything, no.
Okay, because that's what I'm going to as well.
I mean, Cinemark's the big one that has been really outspoken about this. And I guess you said AMC is a little bit less restrictive, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Specifically, they said, bring your lightsabers, but turn them off during the show and leave your blasters and Darth Vader masks at home.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the mask, I can see the weapons, but... I don't know.
See, as far as I'm concerned,
blasters.
Let people line up. Put them in your car before you go into the building or before you go into the theater. If it's in a mall, you know, the hallway of the mall, fine. And malls have security and things like that. And if you're hanging out, here's the other thing, too. If you're hanging out in a group of people, you're probably, if you're doing something nefarious, and even if you've dressed up in costume, if you're there alone and not mingling with people, but you're in cosplay, you're going to stand out.
Yeah.
Because that's not what cosplayers do. They go and they interact and they mingle and they generally don't go by themselves. They go with a group of people. If they do go by themselves, they're there to try to mingle with other people because you're sharing part of your passion for Star Wars. It's part of that sense of community. When you have someone there pretending to be in a community but not being part of the community, they stand out. So let them hang out in the mall or outside the building. And sure, you got to go put your stuff back in the car before you get seated. I think that's fair. And I think it's, you know, reasonable from a security point of view, too.
Well, one thing I was thinking, too, is they could easily just say, hey, you know, you can have it outside. You can have it, you know, in the main lobby area, but don't bring it into the actual theater room because, you know, it's generally dark in there.
Right.
And that's, you know, probably why we have theater shootings there and not, you know, in other more public places because, you know, you're in a dark spot where no one can see you.
That would make a lot more sense if you were to think about how to take out as many people as you could. But that's because the three of us are sane. but seriously, it's because the three of us are sane and not really looking at it that way. The theater shootings that have actually occurred have been more kind of a heat of the moment dispute between two parties. For the most part, there is one notable exception I can think of, and a lot of the shootings happen in broad daylight, though the shopping malls, the schools, things like that. These people don't think about tactical logistics and stuff like that. They just walk into a big open area and do what they're going to do because they don't care about that sort of thing. So to you and me, it would make sense because we would be thinking, we would be incorporating logic into that sort of thing, but these people don't. They're mentally disturbed at some level.
But, yeah, you know, the sad part of it is that, you know, we're not a militaristic society and no security guard type force is ready to deal with this.
No.
In any case, because you've got a guy walking around who's, you know, mentally unstable or not, has thought this through and knows what he's got. He's got, you know, several handguns with him, or he's got a couple, you know, semi-automatic weapons or automatic weapons. And there's no way the rent-a-cop guy who's carrying a weapon is going to be able to defend against that when, A, he's not expecting it. He's not as vigilant as a, you know, paid security force, military type guy who is, you know, on his guard all the time. He's there taking in the sights, looking around, seeing what's going on, seeing if anything looks out of place, but he's not expecting this guy carrying, you know, military hardware coming in, and he's not going to protect us, you know, so it's...
Yeah, well, it's less, you know, to be fair...
I don't think there is a way to protect against that.
No, I mean, it's less about protection and more about detection in that sort of role. And, you know, and the thing is, if you really want to get into protection, then you're starting to give up a lot of freedoms and liberties and stuff that people aren't willing to give up. So, I mean, now there's a whole balance there between freedom and security. And I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole here because, wow, we could go on for hours about that. But I think that, I mean, you can die crossing the street, right? Mm-hmm. You can get hit by a bus. Nothing is ever going to be completely safe.
Right. And, it, I mean, there was recently a mentally unstable person that took a car into a crowd.
Right.
Yeah. Was that a couple weeks ago, a week or so ago? I mean, if somebody wants to hurt people, they don't need weapons to do it. You know, yeah. They will find a way to, you know, be as destructive as they can with what they have access to.
Right. Right. And that's, you know, the thing. I mean, there's only so far you can go to protect people. And I think, I don't think that theaters trying to minimize the risk to the safety of the people going, even if it is just a liability thing. Liability things are there for a reason, to be slightly fair. I don't think it's unreasonable for them to have certain restrictions. I do question some of the specifics on this, but I don't know. I have another happier topic to move on to here, but go ahead, Chris.
I was going
to
say, I do too if you don't, so.
Oh, okay.
The only thing I would want to say is, what was security like at Celebration? Because I remember a lot of people walking around with weapons and lightsabers and stuff. Uh-huh. And I feel like, you know, if someone was going to do something like bad to a crowd of people, you know, a convention is that kind of place.
I agree. I agree. The thing is, Celebration, I think it wasn't, I don't know whether it was quite as tight as New York Comic Con or not, but there was a weapons check area.
Okay.
And you did have to have your weapons checked out, and they had to meet certain, very specific criteria. The melee style weapons had to be foam, or they had to be something that didn't have any weight to them where they could actually, you know, if you're going to carry like the big battle axe that Chewbacca had when he was, what was the bounty hunter he was disguised as in Shadows of the Empire? Like Snuva or something like that. Anyway, like if you went in with like a big battle axe or a Gamorrean axe or something like that, it would have to be foam, or it would have to be such that like you couldn't actually use it with any weight and build any inertia to strike somebody with it and hurt them. Weapons, I mean, they inspected the blasters and stuff like that, made sure that they were all legitimately plastic. I think there had to be certain markings on them to indicate that it was obviously a fake gun, and you know, there's a whole list of criteria. They were very specific about it, but they were also very good about not making it like a big thing. Like you didn't feel like you were, you know, passing through the gates between East and West Berlin in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was there. It was something that they did take seriously, and there were actually, I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but there were staff members walking around and checking people and making sure that they had the little they put stickers, if I recall correctly, on the weapons and stuff to indicate that they had been inspected. And if people walked around and didn't see one of the stickers on them, I actually witnessed some of them stop some people and say, hey, where's your sticker? And oh, I'm sorry, it's on the bottom. I turned the thing around and they'd show it to him. Oh, okay, you're fine. So it was there. It was going on. But it was subtle, as it should be.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't be a scary thing. It should be something that there's an awareness of and it's being kept up with, but it doesn't impede the ability for people to come together as a community and share an event like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, hey, Enchanter Tim, Snuva was the bounty hunter. All right. I remembered something. All right. Lou, you said you had some good news.
I do, yeah, unless you have something you wanted to come off with here.
I do, but we'll end with mine because it's pretty short.
We might have the same thing,
yeah.
A few weeks back, there was a story about a
we have the same one.
Young man with cancer who was worried about not being able to see The Force Awakens.
Yes.
And actually, I was alerted to this because I saw the tweet from Cal Newman.
Yeah.
And I think I responded by saying, wasn't there a movie about that?
And, yeah, of all the people to tweet that very thing, yeah. Yes.
Exactly. So, you know, here life is imitating art. And I think it was his wife that had brought this to the public's, you know, forefront. And, of course, he took up the reins and said, let's make this happen. So Daniel, what's Daniel's last name?
Fleetwood.
Daniel Fleetwood,
yep.
Has now seen, as of Thursday, the 5th of November, has seen The Force Awakens.
Yay!
I guess it's an uncut version. That's not me what's released in the theaters, but...
Oh, I'd love to see an uncut version.
No kidding. So, yeah, the scene article I have up here says, you know, he is now officially the coolest Star Wars fan around. And I'm very jealous of his movie watching, not of his cancer, of course.
Yeah.
But, when that movie came out, when Fanboys came out, we all had that same thought of, oh, Lord, please don't let me die before... the movie comes out, and you know we all say that as a joke. And here's somebody who really has.
Actually happening to him,
right?
Yeah,
and I think they gave him 2 months to live a few months back.
Uh huh.
And I
hope that's wrong. I mean,
see this. I do too.
Doctors are often wrong about that sort of thing, but sometimes they're not, and that's how life is. But yeah, I mean, I have to be honest. Back when the prequels were coming out, I did have a few moments where I stopped and thought to myself, you know, what if something happens and I don't get to see how it ends? Like, I mean, you know how it ends, Anakin, Obi-Wan and stuff, but like before it came out, before it came out, it's like, you know, what if I don't make it and I don't actually get to see it? And I wondered about things like that. And a similar sort of thing happened with the prequels, I think. This is a really cool thing. Not just that he got to see it, but I'm so happy for Daniel that happened for him. For the sense of community getting behind it, though, I mean, this is kind of what we were just talking about a minute ago: Star Wars fans coming together as a community and helping one another out. And I mean, this got the attention of Mark Hamill. This got the attention of some of the staff from The Force Awakens: Daisy Ridley, John Boyega. A lot of people were tweeting about this. Kyle Newman, this is awesome. I mean, this is the power of people getting together as a community and pushing for something, not for themselves, but for the benefit of a complete stranger, to allow them to get to share in the passion of the people in the community. This is really heartwarming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it says a lot, too, because, I mean, you know, I can't tell you first of how many Fanboys references I've seen ever since this story first appeared. But it's cool because, you know, I feel like in many instances, a lot of people would be like, oh, I'm so jealous of him. You know, I wish we could see it first. And we'd be, you know, envious and upset. But no, we're not like, let them see the movie.
Right, right. It's not about, man, I don't want him to get to see it before I do. It's like, no, let him share this while he can.
Mm-hmm. And in one respect, I also kind of feel, you know, it's like how many other people are in a very similar situation that didn't get, you know, spotlight thrust upon them to have this happen to
true.
Them? And I feel bad.
True.
You know, I really do. But was a very cool thing that they all chipped in support. What I want to know is, you know, if the movie was, you know, 2 hours and so many minutes long, how many minutes did they spend with the lawyers signing forms and non-disclosures? And I bet that was longer than the actual movie.
I would love to just know what his opinion of it was. Without any details, did it meet your expectations? Did it exceed them? Did it fall short? You know?
Yeah. Now, did he sneak his cell phone in and, you know, record it? did he have like a little...
What's the BitTorrent seed? Where can I find it? Yeah.
I was very happy to see that happen today, and I was like, okay, cool, that finally happened for him. That's awesome.
Yes, as Tim in the chat room has said, faith in humanity confirmed.
Yes,
but
well put.
This is, you know, for all of the problems that we have that kind of sparked our initial topic. It's important to remember that we also, as a country, as a community, you know, we do have. Things like this happen too. People coming together for the good of other people, not just themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think that's first of all, it's very newsworthy in the sense that this just happened, and this is exciting for Daniel and exciting for the fan community to be able to help be a part of making that happen for him. But it's also just important to remember that while there are very tragic things that happen, there are very important, selfless things that people do for one another as well. So,
yeah.
We can't just focus on the bad things. We have to focus on the good things and make sure that those get pointed out too. You know, they might not be exactly quite as exciting as all the bad things and the tragedies and traumas and stuff and not quite the scare factor, but it's depressing to turn on the news and see nothing but bad news. And this is really cool to get to see some good news. So if you want to see more about this, there's a YouTube video and some more information over on theforce.net. Again, it was posted today, November 5th. Go check it out. It's a very cool it's uplifting. It'll make your day. All right. Do we have anything else we want to talk about before we wrap up here?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Well, we want to hear from you guys. We would like to hear. I don't want to go back and turn it into a negative thing, but let's turn it into more of a positive thing. We do have these concerns, again, here in the U.S. I'm glad that a lot of people in other countries don't have this concern that we do. But we do have this concern with, the cosplay issue versus security at the theaters and stuff like that. I'd like to know what you guys are doing despite the situations at the theaters. Are you going to a different theater? Are you doing something different with your cosplay? Are you going to just do what you're going to do and then before going in, go and put the stuff in the car? Let us know. Let us know what your plans are for cosplaying for The Force Awakens. Shoot us an email. You can send it to echobase@forcecast.net or you can just send it into forcecast@forcecast.net. Let us know. We'd love to hear about it. You can also catch us on Facebook. Facebook.com/ForceCast. You can find us on Twitter, Twitter.com/ForceCast. Hopefully, you're subscribing to the ForceCast Network feed, whether in iTunes or in any other podcast app or downloader. And don't forget to check out the Outer Rim Network as well. That just launched. It has its own feed. We're going to update the website soon and split it off into two different sections for you diehard Star Wars fans who don't care about the other stuff. Bear with us. We're working on it. But it does have its own separate feed in iTunes, so go check that out as well. And check out the other shows on the ForceCast Network if you haven't listened to them. Jedi Journals, Galactic Top 40 Radio is coming back, Rebels Roundtable, a lot of good stuff there. And, of course, check out theforce.net and rebelscum.com, especially as we get closer to The Force Awakens. There's going to be more and more good stuff there. Check them out, especially right now, this Force for Daniel thing. This is a really cool thing. This will make your day. This is awesome. This made me feel much better after having kind of a rough week at work. I saw this and I'm like, ha, yes, score.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Lou, where can we find you on Twitter?
I am at Lou Secchi, LouSecki.
And Chris?
I'm at The Curse of Chris.
All right. And I'm at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. And I think that's going to wrap it up for this week at Echo Base. We're going to close the blast doors here and seal ourselves off until next week. So we will see you then. Take care.
See ya.
Bye.
The Force will be with you always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. It is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, or other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of TheForce.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.